from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Carpool Mom texts the show. She said, good morning, Rob and Alonzo. Good luck. Hope you bring home the gold, if not for anything else, because you used the word thrice. Yeah, I did. Because we learned this weekend that Rob and Lonzo are now thrice nominated, twice awarded, maybe, soon to be, thrice nominated, twice awarded. Actually, now it's four nominated, thrice finalist. Twice awarded, maybe thrice awarded. We'll find out in August. Best sports talk show in the state. We are also up, we learned this weekend, shockingly, if we're keeping it a buck here, for best morning show personality / team, which is an open award to any broadcast outlet with a morning show. Stunned by that one. However, if we go 3 for 3 with silver medals, The bragging point this year is station record for nominations for an individual show in one banquet. I'm pretty good with that. Let's go get a third though.
No, let's go get three golds, man.
I prefer it, for the record, just so we're clear.
All right, we got a good shot at two of them.
We got a good shot for two. All right,
you're not
third one. We all know what's happening.
You're next for Goldberg. Yeah. You're not taking him out.
I am not Goldberg. I am who's next. Chris Miller is just the Bill Goldberg of South Carolina local sports radio. Being on the stage to shake that guy's hand and take home the little crystal is good enough for me. I want it. Don't get me wrong.
I think we can get a Goldberg chant. Started when
I'll do it either way.
Goes up there.
I'll do it either way. I will stay in that room because you go up, you get the trophy, and then they escort you to another room to have your picture made with the trophy. I will stay in that room to start a Goldberg chant. The thing is, I don't know if Chris is a wrestling guy.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't care.
We don't. Yeah, even if you're not, I mean, if you're of a certain age, you know who Bill Goldberg is. I am. Which would be the bigger shock for you? Which award would be the biggest shock?
It
would
be beating that Chris.
One. Yeah, it would be that.
Yeah,
one.
Beating Chris. I'll be straight up with you. I don't know anything about the. I don't know anything about the best morning show personality team. I don't know who we are up against. I don't know who else is in that mix. I don't know. Again, it's an open award. That is not a sports category. That's just an open category. And we got thrown into it. I don't know anything about it.
I think we're pretty entertaining. So, I mean, you know.
Oh, we make ourselves laugh all the time, which is the goal. which is the goal. Where did it, now? Who I got to see who we're up against here. That's not that. Where did it go? I'll find it.
So this thing is August 3rd. Hopefully we come in August 5th and are like, yeah.
Oh, no, it is a radio award.
Yeah.
I was radio going, morning show broadcast personality team.
I was thinking it was, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's across all genres.
Yes,
so
it
is. It's not just talk. It is music. It is everyone.
Yeah.
Our brothers down the hall,
brother.
Hawk and Tom, have been nominated the last few years. Tara,
brother.
From our brother station, WRD, has been nominated. So, and those guys have brought home trophies. So it's, we got to uphold the tradition. We got to bring home some gold.
I will say this. It is a radio award, but it is not a sports radio award. It's anybody. The station we are up against, do you know who is a participant on the morning show we're up against?
Huh?
Chris Miller.
Oh, so right away you're
two
like,
for four, baby.
Yeah.
We're going but, two for four.
No, come on. Because I just pointed out a couple people from down the hall.
That's fair.
Who have won the award
That's
several
fair.
Times. So he's not Goldberg in that category.
We'll find out. All right. A lot of stuff we need to get to. A lot of stuff we need to talk about. But it is 7:00. Hang on a second. Wait for it. Dun, 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 dun. 5 in the morning, which means you are 55 minutes on the dot away from having to clock in and lock in at the office and get your wonderful 8-hour shift underway. And we both know how that's going to go. You got an 8-hour shift. 3 to 4 of those hours are going to be spent talking sports with your coworkers, right? And if you're going to talk sports with the coworkers, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, well, it's a good thing you're here because we do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with the coworkers today. If you want to know what's going on, It's why we do this. Item number 1. Copa America is underway, an international soccer tournament that features the best international teams from across the Americas, the North, the South, and the Central, as well as the Caribbean island countries. Group C is where we find the United States along with Panama, Uruguay, and Bolivia. Last night, the United States men's national team started up competition against Bolivia and took home a 2-0 win over the Bolivians. That gives the Americans 3 points in the table and a +2 score differential. That's good news. Bad news? Same for Uruguay. They took Panama to a 2-0 defeat, meaning they also took home 3 points, and they also ended up +2 on the score sheet. So a pretty good spot to be in right now if you are the Americans in a tie at the top of the table with a team that is, if it's not you, the second best team or maybe the best team, we'll find out on Group C. 2-0 because of a pair of goals. One came from Christian Pulisic just 3 minutes into the contest. Pulisic had a look on the left-hand side, reversed field, took it up towards the top of the keeper's 18-yard box, and fired a leaning right footer across the face of the keeper. Got a finger on it, but not enough to stop it. It ended up going up in the top upright 90, and that put the Americans up 1-0. Then, just before halftime, Valer and Balogun ended up with a goal as well in the 44th minute. That would make it 2-0 to the Americans. The Americans had a number of opportunities in the second half, including one that was a ricochet off of Ricardo Pepi that went wide. I think Balogun had another one that went off to the right. Plenty of opportunities for the Americans. This could have ended up being a 5-0 game. It could have been a 1-0 game. probably not much worse than that, but because Pulisic was all over the field yesterday. That being said, there were some spots for which there was some concern. The buildup out of the back was not what I wanted. The passing out of the back was questionable. In fact, you ended up seeing three shots on goal from the Bolivians, and I believe all but one of them came from the fact that the backline passing for the Americans was pretty pedestrian overall. It was pretty pedestrian. That is going to have to get cleaned up. That is going to have to be better. Steven is in the stream chat. He said, what deboat was that? The USMNT looked disconnected, and my U9 team could pass better than some of them. Yeah, no, I don't disagree. Again, a lot of what we saw in the buildup from the back was not ideal. A lot of what we saw in the buildup from the back was not what you would have wanted to see in some of those spots. But I will say the midfield was on it. I will say in the attacking third, the Americans gave themselves a ton of opportunities. Unfortunately, did not finish as many of those opportunities as I would have liked, but they gave themselves the chances. Step one to finishing the chances is earning the chances, and the Americans did just that. 2-0 to the Americans over Bolivia. 3-1 Uruguay over Panama. Both teams with 3 points. Both teams plus 2 in the differential. We will keep you up to date. The next game for the Americans will be Thursday evening in Atlanta, Georgia. If you got any interest in driving over for that one when they take on Panama. Let's go to item number 2. College World Series. Somebody's winning a national championship tonight, ladies and gentlemen. On Saturday, the Aggies of Texas A&M, the Colt, took a 9-5 win over number one ranked Tennessee. They were able to chase Chris Stamos, a very good pitcher. In fact, he was 3-0 in the College World Series coming into this one. They chased him after recording just one out, a couple of hits, a couple of runs surrendered, one of them being a dinger. Chased him out. Causey would come in, give him 3.2 for the Volunteers, but did surrender 6 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned. The Aggies, on the other hand, the bats were alive. They put up 2 in the first frame. Tennessee got one back in the second. Texas A&M added 5 more in the fifth. It was 7-2 at the conclusion of the third, and the Aggs never looked back. Then we got to yesterday's game. Tennessee squared in the elimination phase, able to come back and get a 4-1 win. A&M jumped out to an early lead. They put one across the dish in the bottom of the first. The Volunteers would get 2 back in the seventh on a 2-run shot. They would get 2 more back in the eighth on another 2-run shot. That would make it 4-1 in favor of Tennessee. The Aggies had plenty of opportunities in the bottom of the eighth and the bottom of the ninth, but could not find a catch-up spot anywhere in there. So this evening at 7 p.m., the Aggies and the Vols. Somebody is bringing a baseball national championship back to the Southeastern Conference. First pitch will go at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Tennessee is -275 on the money line. The over-under in this game set at 9.5. Tennessee, the better team. And tonight, you get the aces going for both teams. So this one should be a good one. Finally, let us get to item number 3. I went back and forth on what I was going to do for this. I have Scottie Scheffler. I've got some news out of the Carolina Panthers. There's a lot of ways we could have gone, but I have been trying my darndest to get you guys in for years now on NHL Stanley Cup playoff hockey. I have been trying my darndest for years now to get you guys in on the NHL Stanley Cup finals. And I have said again and again and again and again and again, and I will say it again now. I mean it when I tell you. There is nothing in sports more electric than an NHL Stanley Cup Game 7. I mean it. Nothing. It doesn't matter where it's played. You could play it on a pond in upstate New York. You could play it in a state-of-the-art arena in Canada. You could play it on home ice in Miami, Florida. It does not matter. A Game 7 of the Stanley Cup has more electricity in it than a nuclear reactor, my dudes and my dudettes. And tonight at 8 p.m., we get a Game 7. Not just do we get a Game 7, but we get the deciding game in what has been one of the weirdest series of any sport that I can recall watching in a very long time. Florida wins the first three games to the tune of a +7 goal differential. Everything going right. Sergei Bobrovsky was unbelievable in games 1, 2, and 3. And then in game 4, something happened. Edmonton's special teams came alive. Sergei Bobrovsky suddenly looked like a mere mortal. The names like Tkachuk for Florida have all but disappeared for three straight games. Somebody pointed out to me over the weekend that during the course of the regular season, there were three spots where Edmonton went on a three-game losing streak. In all three spots, Edmonton turned around after three L's and won either 4 or 5 consecutively. Should that trend hold up, Edmonton will be taking the Stanley Cup back to Canada this evening. However, on the flip side, the Florida Panthers are at home. Sunrise Florida is all in on hockey. It is going to be loud. It is going to be chaotic. If you have not watched a hockey game in your life, if you have not been watching these Stanley Cup Finals, if you have never watched any Stanley Cup Finals, I implore you, it is Monday. It is day one of the week. You got to go back to work tomorrow. You can't go bananas tonight, right? You can't head out to the watering hole and tie one on. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down on the couch with a nice cold frosty glass of your beverage of choice. Don't care what it is. Put you a little bourbon over ice. Get you a cold Canadian beer to celebrate. Maybe just hit yourself with the old Diet Dr. Pepper. Whatever the move is, I want you to put one of those over ice in a nice tall glass. I want you to sit on the couch, and I want you to dial in tonight. There's nothing else going on, all right? There's no football tonight. There's no NBA Finals tonight. College World Series will be over and decided by the time we get to the third period of this contest this evening. So what I want you to do as homework for the Rob Brown Show, I want you to sit down. I want you to watch this game, and I want you to call or text me tomorrow and tell me you did not enjoy it. I want you to call or text the show tomorrow if you truly undertake the challenge of sitting down and watching a Game 7. I dare you to call or text the radio program tomorrow morning, metaphorically look me in the face, and tell me you don't enjoy the bleep out of it tonight. Because there is nothing more electric than a Stanley Cup Game 7, especially in a series as wild as this one. Both teams -110 on the money line. Vegas says this is a pick 'em contest. Let's go to break. Back after this, Robin Lonzo on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sincere question, where does the College World Series rank for you guys? Like on the list of sports priorities right now, where does this event rank? Because I will tell you, I look forward to not just the College World Series, the entire college baseball postseason. I look forward to it every year. It is my favorite postseason in sports. I think the structure of the College World Series is the best playoffs in American sports. Second best is the MLS. That's another discussion for another day. But the College World Series, you go with the regionals. The best teams get to host. That is their prize. Teams that get in still have a very good chance to move out of that regional because of the round robin format of it. I adore the regionals. The super regionals are great. If you perform in your regular season and get out of your regional, you are awarded with the ability to host a super regional. But if you are not one of the best teams in the regular season, escape the regional, whether you hosted it or not, there's a better than average chance that you could still end up hosting a super regional as a reward, right? We've seen that happen all the time. There are teams that get white hot, like Florida did coming to Clemson and knocking them out of their own hosted super regional to move on to Omaha. And then once you get to Omaha with the double elimination format, you can have a bad game and still get out. Now, didn't happen for either of the brackets, as both Tennessee and Texas A&M were able to move out. Pretty chalky there. But with the way that the actual College World Series is structured, double elimination out of the gate, and then a double elimination College World Series finals, it's the best postseason format in all of sport. Or all of American sport, I guess. I adore this event. We talked about it Saturday on Bet for the Cycle. Former Major League player and former UCLA Bruin great Cody Decker, my co-host, does not watch college baseball. That kind of blew my mind a little bit. He was a college baseball player at a very prestigious university. He was a college baseball player. And yet, does not like college baseball. He said it is a sport inhabited primarily by fans of the teams that are actually competitive. He said it is a sport that you can watch the fan base, the attendance diminish as teams are bad. And I don't necessarily know that he's wrong. I'm interested in seeing how, for instance, South Carolina plays out next year with Paul Maneri coming on board. By the way, phenomenal interview with Cole Bryson and Diesel. They snagged Paul Maneri. Great talk. Great conversation. Really enjoyed listening to it. With the NFL, my team gets bounced, I'm still watching. And I'm watching every game I can get my hands on. College football, my team's out of the running, I'm still watching. And I'm watching every game I can get my hands on. This is why I've said I enjoy college bowl season, right? Because a lot of, if not the majority of the guys playing in those games are playing because they love football. The guys who are next year in the NFL guys might bounce. But the majority of these guys love football, and I love watching them play football. I think I've asked this every year, and I will continue to do so. I am curious as to y'all's level of engagement with the College World Series. Tonight is an elimination game. Not an elimination game. I mean, it is a national championship game. Somebody is winning a trophy tonight. It is game three in a best of three. And you've got a couple of aces on the bump against a couple of teams whose bats can erupt at any given second. This is a spot that I mean it. This is a spot that I don't think sports is better. And by the way, what a night we got tonight in sports, right? We've got Euro in the daytime, Copa in the nighttime, two games in both. We have got an elimination game at the College World Series. We have got an elimination game in the Stanley Cup, both game sevens. Well, a game three and a game seven, but you get it. Like, what a night we have lined up in sports, and a really good MLB slate this evening. But when we have all of that going on, does college baseball register to you guys? And I bring it up because, as I have said a number of times, aside from college baseball being just a great postseason, I kind of thought the Carolinas were baseball territory. You got North Carolina, Duke, NC State, Wake up in the north. You've got South Carolina. You've got Clemson, you've got Wofford, you've got some great ECU, Coastal in the regionals and supers this year. You have got a very good lineup of college baseball teams across the Carolinas to the point that I have been working under the assumption the last 4 years running now, I guess three, we didn't have a College World Series COVID year. The last 3 years running now, I've been working under the assumption that this was an area that would follow college baseball even if and or after Clemson / South Carolina got bounced from the postseason tournament. I had a conversation yesterday with Cole Bryson about it because Cole's a big College World Series guy as well. We watched the end of game two. Cole came and watched football with me last night, soccer with me last night. Not a soccer guy. Got him into it. He dug it. It was good.
Wow.
I know.
Co-parting. You out there co-parting.
My co-part.
Look at you.
We talked about it yesterday. And I asked him, I said, hey, let me ask you a question. In the afternoons, when you are bringing up the College World Series, what, if any, reaction do you get? Are you getting a good reaction? Are you getting a moot reaction? Are you getting a cold reaction? Like, do you get anything at all? And he said, honestly, not much of one. Not much of one. You know? And listen, Rob's not dumb. I mean, he is, but when it comes to radio, he's not. I understand that a large, if not majority of our audience would rather sit here and speculate on what this college football season is going to turn out to be. I understand the majority of you, even in June, would probably rather talk about your college football program in September, October, November than you would talk about college baseball when your team's not in the mix. Yes, I think if South Carolina or Clemson were playing for a natty tonight, it would be the dominant conversation on the show today. But I had worked under the assumption that the Carolinas were a baseball area, a college baseball area by and large, especially in the upstate, close to Atlanta, but a baseball area, when you look at the Carolinas as a whole, tilted to the college game. I really did work under the assumption that this was going to be something that people cared about. It is a phenomenal structure. It has a ton of drama. There have been multiple walk-off games. Hell, three of the first four games in Omaha were bottom of the ninth, come from behind walk-off games. That is baseball at its finest. I assume this was going to be a big-time discussion that we had a lot of emphasis and focus on, but here we are lining it up to hand somebody a national championship trophy this evening, and it gets very little. I brought it back up in the first hour. Nobody talked about it. It was in the water cooler cheat sheet, not a text, no project. Here's the thing. We talk about football, and I'll bring up random games, right? Let's bring up Ohio State, Penn State.
How is that random?
Well, that's for the
relevant.
Area.
It's relevant on the national scale, though. I mean, bring up like Montana versus Colorado or something.
I'll bring up anything. I'll bring up any college football game.
I feel slighted. So I mean that you.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and you didn't say the.
I will bring up any random game, including one with the Ohio State Horse Chestnuts, and we get a text. Somebody's got a text. Oh, I'm picking this, or this is what's going to happen, or you know, they don't this. The water chestnuts don't understand the SEC. I get a text. I get a tweet. I get something. We went through 2 weeks, 3 weeks of college baseball postseason and got very little. Am I the only one surprised by that?
Well, it's is our team in? None of our teams are in, so people don't care as much. And even with them in, I'm not sure about the level of fandom as far as that goes.
I guess that's what I'm kind of asking here because, you know, South Carolina doesn't make or Clemson doesn't make March. Obviously, it didn't happen this past postseason. But, you know, if South Carolina, Clemson don't make the postseason, there's still people that want to talk March Madness, college basketball postseason. If South Carolina and Clemson don't make the playoffs, there's still people who want to talk about the college football playoffs. The Atlanta Braves don't make the Major League Baseball postseason. There's still people who have thoughts on the MLB postseason. College baseball.
But not as much. Baseball is just, it's fallen off. As far as being, is it even part of the top three anymore?
Statistically speaking, yes. Ratings-wise, yes. It still catches ratings. Now, obviously, that's more specifically Major League Baseball with the postseason than it is the regular season. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the Braves-Yankees series, I promise you, is going to be in the multi-millions in terms of audience, maybe like two and a half, three. But I promise you more people were watching that than Olympic trials, than are watching Copa America.
Still a lot of people counting down the days till football.
Oh, for sure.
And don't be dissing the Olympic trials. I've been watching that almost every night.
I agree. I'm not dissing him. What I'm saying is more people are watching Major League Baseball than the Olympic trials. Maybe
they're
not the Olympics.
They're pole vaulting 20 feet, dude. 20
Again.
Feet.
You're acting as if I am insulting the track and field aces. I'm not. I'm just saying baseball's still in the mix. I just thought college baseball would have a lot more impact as a topic, but maybe I'm just wrong about that. What are your thoughts on it? Have you followed? Do you follow? Do you care? When we come back here in just a minute, I asked South Carolina fans their definition of success for the year. We got a couple of answers. I'll read them for you and respond when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. I did this for Clemson a couple of weeks ago. I'll do it for South Carolina as well. Define success for me this season on the gridiron. Define success. And I've the reason I did it for Clemson, and I think it is fair to say the reason that I am doing it for South Carolina as well, albeit the two subjects at hand here come from different backgrounds. The reason I did it for Clemson is because, as I have said, now more than ever, The Dabo Swinney philosophy is in play. Not using the portal, right? And that was magnified by the fact, I'm sure you have heard this before, magnified by the fact that there are three schools that did not accept a single incoming transfer. Two of them were military academies. The third was Clemson. The Dabo Swinney philosophy of coaching is in play more this year than it has ever been for Clemson. And because of that, I think it is important for Clemson fans to identify the definition of what they would call a successful season this year. And I say that because I have to think you've got to have one of two thoughts. Either A, Dabo has done enough for this school that I don't care that he ever wins another natty. He's already gotten us a couple, and he put us into the national conversation, so he's just got Wright's lifetime to do what he wants. Or the second school of thought, which is, yeah, I don't want to go back to the pre-days. I don't want to go back to the before times. I want to stay on top. I want to stay relevant. And so if you are in that second group with Clemson, this is the year, now that we are multiple seasons into the NIL era, now that we are multiple seasons into the transfer portal area, where Dabo's philosophy will have a massive impact. You have either by now figured it out, or we have figured out that you will not figure it out. And I think it is abundantly fair to say the results of this year are a direct impact on the decision-making of the head coach. So Clemson fans, I have asked to identify their definition of success so that at the end of the season, we can circle back around and say, Dabo met or did not meet your definition of success. I think it's important for South Carolina to do the same thing, albeit for different reasons. Shane has not done anything that make him a historic figure on the campus. If Dabo quits today, he is a Clemson legend forever. That is not a question, that's a statement.
Beamer's videos might be historic. I know it's not on the field, but you said he hasn't done anything. No one has ever done that sort of thing.
I don't disagree, but I also don't think 10 years from now we're going to look back and go, yeah. Remember when they kept going 5-7, but Shane was funny on the internet? Right? Like, that's not historic. Is it a footnote? Sure. Is the culture building the legacy of Shane Beamer right now? Absolutely. The culture building is his legacy. But would you rather have a 5-7 team that's got great culture? Or would you rather blow the thing up and go compete for conference championships? I think I know the answer.
I don't know Kentucky's coach whose name I can't remember. You tell me.
That would be Stoops the Lesser.
Okay. All right. Because that's who you sound like right
Not
now.
Big Game Bob. It's Marcus. Mark Stoops. Again, are the videos fun?
I legitimately couldn't remember his name. So,
are the videos fun? Yes, they are. Are they engaging? Yes, they are. Are they entertaining? Yes, they are. But again, are we out here trying to build a TikTok following or a football foundation? Right? I would be fine not knowing what my head coach sounded like if we were turning in 10-2s and 11-1s every year.
If it brings you in one or two really good recruits because they're on TikTok and they see that and go, that looks like fun. I was trying to decide where to go and I want to go there. Yeah.
Again, I don't disagree. But that is the thing. Has it done that? I can't say yes, it has, right? So the reason that I think it is important for Gamecock fans this year to tamp down what it is that they will use to define success, I think it's important to do this year. And I think it's important to do this year because, as I mentioned with Dabo, we are now well into the NIL in the portal era. We are now going into our fourth season under Shane Beamer. It's been enough time by, I think, any metric that you elect to use. It has been enough time at this point that I think it is fair to say if this team does not achieve success, if this team does not achieve success this year, then as much as Lonzo and I both love the guy, and we do, friend of the show, Shane Beamer, there's going to come a point where I go, I like him. He's entertaining. He's a super nice guy. He has been good to us on this station and on this show and on these airwaves, and that's all well and good. But at some point, you got to win, right? Like at some point, you got to win. I know a lot of great dudes in radio who have been fired from stations not because they weren't stellar people, but because they didn't do good shows or they didn't get good ratings or they didn't bring in money or whatever. Couldn't, you know, whatever. At some point, and especially now with NIL and the portal being what it is, at some point, it is important that you look at your program through the lens of a business. And at some point, I got to have a return on investment, right? If you went and you invested money into a company, every year you went and invested money, and every year at the end of the year, you called up that company and went, all right, my name is Lonzo, and I've invested $6 million into your company. What did I make in return? And every year for 6 or 7 years, they go, yeah, sorry, nothing this year. Nothing this year. But you donate you invest another million into our team. I mean, company next year. We got a great culture over here. We got a great culture, right? Got a great culture. There, I can't tell you how many startups there have been in the age of entrepreneurship, how many startups there have been that have built a wonderful office culture. They got a ping pong table and the espresso machine is free. Espresso, not expresso.
There's a difference?
Yes. Yes. The word is espresso.
Okay.
Espresso is not a thing.
I meant to drink. There might be.
No, there's not.
Neither one of us drink coffee. Are you sure?
Yes. It is espresso. The espresso machine is free. The vending machines are free.
Okay, anyway.
There's a weekly outing to the local axe-throwing bar, right? Like, wonderful culture. But if you're sitting there 3 or 4 or 5 years into the startup and you have not gotten any sort of returns, I'm not investing anymore. And I feel like that's kind of where we are dangerously close to getting with South Carolina. James just said exactly where I was going to go. You're at the point now where you can't blame Muschamp anymore, right?
Well, actually, you can.
No, you can't.
You can blame him, but it's a bad defense.
You can
blame him 30 years from now. It was that bland. It was so bad.
I don't disagree. However, if you do, it's a bad defense. It is a bad look to blame a guy who has been gone since 4 seasons ago. It's just a bad look, right? So for me with the Gamecocks on the football field this year, it is important that Gamecock fans, to me, define what a successful season is going to be. And define what a successful season is going to be so that at the end of this year, we can look down that roster of predictions or demands and objectively say, yes or no. You got to go. You don't got to go. Many years ago. When I was a personnel director, terrifying, I know, of a station I used to work at.
Wait.
I know.
Wait, what? What? We've been working together for a while. I think this is the first I've heard that
you were at my old station.
You were a manager.
I was a manager.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. And at my old station, we had, in addition to our midday lineup, local show. We brought a guy in, and he worked there for, I think, a year. And after a year, we said, all right, you've been here a year.
Is he in Detroit now?
No, he is not.
Okay, I was just curious.
After it was same station, but different dude. After a year, we said, all right, here's our expectations for you. We expect you to get to X, Y, and Z. We expect you to have this number. We expect you to do this, to do that, whatever. And we got after a year to a point where he didn't meet those expectations. And we were able to look back and go, here's the document. Here's what we wanted you to do. You signed it saying you agreed. You didn't do those things. We got to let you go. And we took a little flack because, and this is an awful situation, but his I think his dad had passed away like 3-4 weeks before that. And we had to let him go because he didn't meet the expectations that we had set for him. And they weren't outrageous, but we had him let him go. And he went out there, you know, full blast in the station, in the community about how could you fire me after my dad passed away, whatever. And, you know, it was a bad look. I get it. But at the flip time, on the flip side, those agreements were made a year ago, man. Like, these aren't new. This isn't something we hit you the day after that tragic event. And you signed a paper that said, by X date, I will do this, this, and this. You didn't do any of those things. Yeah, it stinks, right? I kind of am to that point with Shane O'Mac here. I am kind of to the point that I love the guy. I love the videos. I love the sunglasses. I love the dancing. I love that we can get him on the radio show. We probably need to go ahead and line that up again. I love everything.
Not if he's listening right now.
Yeah, right. I don't think Shane would say any of this is unfair. It's 3 years in now. At some point, a return on investment is demanded by the people who invest. And to stick with the business metaphor, fans are the investors. They are. The boosters are the investors. The fans who buy tickets are the investors. The fans who stay at home, the ones who buy merch, the kids who go to school there.
I don't hear an outcry saying we need to fire Shane Beamer now. Is there not? Where's the outcry? There was with Muschamp. There absolutely was. I don't hear one with Beamer. I don't see one. Where is it?
I don't think that there is one.
Because that's where it either comes from up top or it comes from the fans saying, that's it, I don't want any more. So what are the fans' expectations? Is it what they're getting now?
That's literally the question of the segment.
Are they cautiously optimistic about this upcoming season and just waiting? That's what I'm saying. It's waiting.
So that we're clear. I'm not pushing for Shane to be fired. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is I think it is important for Carolina fans to set their expectations now, to set their definition of success now, so that at the end of the year, like we did with that guy that I worked to, that worked with me, at the end of the year we can circle back around and say, okay, he met the objectives defined as successful, so we're all good. Or at the end of the year we can all look back and go, he didn't meet any of the objectives, and now we need to start talking. Because you're right, the push either comes from the top or the bottom, never the middle. I don't disagree. Question mark is, how many years do you wait until you start that push? Because every year that you leave a failed coach in, it's 1 year further away from success that you get. And as much as I've heard, well, you just can't succeed at South Carolina. Yeah, they used to say that about Clemson, too.
When your expectations are the middle, he's meeting that.
But are they? Are we good with that? If your definition of success is 6-6 in a bowl game, then great, congratulations. But I can't imagine Gamecock fans don't have higher desire for their football program.
Being desirous and also being realistic are two different things.
Being realistic and wanting more do not have to be two different things. Texter said, my expectation as a Gamecock fan is that we're going to be left one more yet again. What I want is a big upgrade to the offensive line so that we can see if his offense is any good, not just a player, but the scheme as well. Yeah, again, that was the criticism from last year, right? Rattler and XL carried you for a couple of seasons, and when Juice went down, the offense went down with it. The talent wasn't there on the offensive line to do anything with it last year. Texter said, Beamer is the new Butch Jones, champion of life. That's a great reference, Tyler B. Appreciate that text. Thank you very much. That's what I'm afraid of, that you're entering Butch Jones territory, and you don't want to do that. Texter said, Rob, I'm a Clemson grad. If the Gamecock fans don't set proper expectations, that is not my problem. I didn't say that it was. This segment's not about you.
Managed to get your team in there, though, didn't you?
So there you go. We got a bunch more in the chat as well. We will continue this discussion later on in the radio broadcast. I do want to circle back around to it. We got some baseball, we got some golf, we got some football and more. Before we get to any of those things, though, sit back, relax, light a candle, and enjoy the next 67 seconds of audio pleasure that is Lonzo Sports Flash.
Now I'm worried. You think I'm just gaseous and they need a light to cover the... Oh, he's going to the bathroom now. He'll smell real gas. The Atlanta Braves took a series win out of the Bronx with a 3-1 win over the Yankees yesterday. Jerry Kelenic had another big day with a two-out home run in the third that gave Atlanta a lead. They would not relinquish. Max Fried went six strong innings, giving up six hits, but only one run while striking out four. Scottie Scheffler is back in the win column after a playoff defeat of Tom Kim at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Scheffler turned in a pair of 64s and a pair of 65s, including Sunday, and averaged just one bogey per day over the tournament. Scheffler led the field with a driving distance of over 315 yards. Make sure you tune in this afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m., for Wire to Wire, Cole Diesel, and Cole Bryson and Diesel, Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. I did this for Clemson a couple of weeks ago. I'll do it for South Carolina as well. Define success for me this season on the gridiron. Define success. And I've the reason I did it for Clemson, and I think it is fair to say the reason that I am doing it for South Carolina as well, albeit the two subjects at hand here come from different backgrounds. The reason I did it for Clemson is because, as I have said, now more than ever, the Dabo Swinney philosophy is in play. Not using the portal, right? And that was magnified by the fact, I'm sure you have heard this before, magnified by the fact that there are three schools that did not accept a single incoming transfer. Two of them were military academies. The third was Clemson. The Dabo Swinney philosophy of coaching is in play more this year than it has ever been for Clemson. And because of that, I think it is important for Clemson fans to identify the definition of what they would call a successful season this year. And I say that because I have to think you've got to have one of two thoughts. Either A, Dabo has done enough for this school that I don't care that he ever wins another natty. He's already gotten us a couple, and he put us into the national conversation, so he's just got Wright's lifetime to do what he wants. Or the second school of thought, which is, yeah, I don't want to go back to the pre-days. I don't want to go back to the before times. I want to stay on top. I want to stay relevant. And so if you are in that second group with Clemson, this is the year, now that we are multiple seasons into the NIL era, now that we are multiple seasons into the transfer portal area, where Dabo's philosophy will have a massive impact. You have either by now figured it out, or we have figured out that you will not figure it out. And I think it is abundantly fair to say the results of this year are a direct impact on the decision-making of the head coach. So Clemson fans, I have asked to identify their definition of success so that at the end of the season, we can circle back around and say, Dabo met or did not meet your definition of success. I think it's important for South Carolina to do the same thing, albeit for different reasons. Shane has not done anything that make him a historic figure on the campus. If Dabo quits today, he is a Clemson legend forever. That is not a question. That's a statement.
Beamer's videos might be historic. I know it's not on the field, but you said he hasn't done anything. No one has ever done that sort of thing.
I don't disagree, but I also don't think 10 years from now we're going to look back and go, yeah. Remember when they kept going 5-7, but Shane was funny on the internet? Right? Like, that's not historic. Is it a footnote? Sure. Is the culture building the legacy of Shane Beamer right now? Absolutely. The culture building is his legacy. But would you rather have a 5-7 team that's got great culture? Or would you rather blow the thing up and go compete for conference championships? I think I know the answer.
I don't know Kentucky's coach whose name I can't remember.
That would be Stoops the Lesser.
Okay. All right. Because that's who you sound like right
Not
now.
Big Game Bob. It's Marcus. Mark Stoops. Again, are the videos fun?
I legitimately couldn't remember his name. So,
are the videos fun? Yes, they are. Are they engaging? Yes, they are. Are they entertaining? Yes, they are. But again, are we out here trying to build a TikTok following or a football foundation? Right? I would be fine not knowing what my head coach sounded like if we were turning in 10-2s and 11-1s every year.
If it brings you in one or two really good recruits because they're on TikTok and they see that and go, that looks like fun. I was trying to decide where to go and I want to go there. Yeah.
Again, I don't disagree. But that is the thing. Has it done that? I can't say yes, it has, right? So the reason that I think it is important for Gamecock fans this year to tamp down what it is that they will use to define success, I think it's important to do this year. And I think it's important to do this year because, as I mentioned with Dabo, we are now well into the NIL in the portal era. We are now going into our fourth season under Shane Beamer. It's been enough time by, I think, any metric that you elect to use. It has been enough time at this point that I think it is fair to say if this team does not achieve success, if this team does not achieve success this year, then as much as Lonzo and I both love the guy, and we do, friend of the show, Shane Beamer, there's going to come a point where I go, I like him. He's entertaining. He's a super nice guy. He has been good to us on this station and on this show and on these airwaves, and that's all well and good. But at some point, you got to win, right? Like, at some point, you got to win. I know a lot of great dudes in radio who have been fired from stations not because they weren't stellar people, but because they didn't do good shows, or they didn't get good ratings, or they didn't bring in money or whatever. Couldn't, you know, whatever. At some point, and especially now with NIL and the portal being what it is, at some point, it is important that you look at your program through the lens of a business. And at some point, I got to have a return on investment, right? If you went and you invested money into a company, every year you went and invested money, and every year at the end of the year, you called up that company and went, all right, my name is Lonzo, and I've invested $6 million into your company. What did I make in return? And every year for 6 or 7 years, they go, yeah, sorry, nothing this year. Nothing this year. But you donate you invest another million into our team. I mean, company. Next year, we got a great culture over here. We got a great culture, right? Got a great culture. There, I can't tell you how many startups there have been in the age of entrepreneurship, how many startups there have been that have built a wonderful office culture. They got a ping pong table, and the espresso machine is free. Espresso, not espresso.
There's a difference?
Yes. Yes, the word is espresso.
Okay.
Espresso is not a thing.
I meant to drink. There might be.
No, there's not.
Neither one of us drink coffee. Are you sure?
Yes. It is espresso. The espresso machine is free. The vending machines are free.
Okay, anyway.
There's a weekly outing to the local axe-throwing bar, right? Like, wonderful culture. But if you're sitting there 3 or 4 or 5 years into the startup and you have not gotten any sort of returns, I'm not investing anymore. And I feel like that's kind of where we are dangerously close to getting with South Carolina. James just said exactly where I was going to go. You're at the point now where you can't blame Muschamp anymore, right?
Well, actually, you can.
No, you can't.
You can blame him, but it's a bad defense. You
can
blame him 30 years from now. It was that bland. It was so bad.
I don't disagree. However, if you do, it's a bad defense. It is a bad look to blame a guy who has been gone since 4 seasons ago. It's a bad look, right? So for me with the Gamecocks on the football field this year, it is important that Gamecock fans, to me, define what a successful season is going to be. And define what a successful season is going to be so that at the end of this year, we can look down that roster of predictions or demands and objectively say, yes or no. You got to go. You don't got to go. Many years ago. When I was a personnel director, terrifying, I know, of a station I used to work at.
Wait.
I know.
Wait, what? We've been working together for a while. I think this is the first I've heard that
you were at my old station.
You were a manager.
I was a manager.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. And at my old station, we had, in addition to our midday lineup, local show. We brought a guy in, and he worked there for, I think, a year. And after a year, we said, all right, you've been here a year.
Is he in Detroit now?
No, he is not.
Okay, I was just curious.
Same station, but different dude. After a year, we said, all right, here's our expectations for you. We expect you to get to X, Y, and Z. We expect you to have this number. We expect you to do this, to do that, whatever. And we got after a year to a point where he didn't meet those expectations. And we were able to look back and go, here's the document. Here's what we wanted you to do. You signed it saying you agreed. You didn't do those things. we got to let you go. And we took a little flack because, and this is an awful situation, but his I think his dad had passed away like 3-4 weeks before that. And we had to let him go because he didn't meet the expectations that we had set for him. And they weren't outrageous, but we had him let him go. And he went out there, you know, full blast in the station, in the community about how could you fire me after my dad passed away, whatever. And, you know, it was a bad look. I get it. But at the flip time, on the flip side, those agreements were made a year ago, man. Like, these aren't new. This isn't something we hit you the day after that tragic event. And you signed a paper that said, by X date, I will do this, this, and this. You didn't do any of those things. Yeah, it stinks, right? I kind of am to that point with Shane O'Mac here. I am kind of to the point that I love the guy. I love the videos. I love the sunglasses. I love the dancing. I love that we can get him on the radio show. We probably need to go ahead and line that up again. I love everything.
Not if he's listening right now.
Yeah, right. I don't think Shane would say any of this is unfair. It's 3 years in now. At some point, a return on investment is demanded by the people who invest. And to stick with the business metaphor, fans are the investors. They are. The boosters are the investors. The fans who buy tickets are the investors. The fans who stay at home, the ones who buy merch, the kids who go to school there.
I don't hear an outcry saying we need to fire Shane Beamer now. Is there not? Where's the outcry? There was with Muschamp. There absolutely was. I don't hear one with Beamer. I don't see one. Where is it?
I don't think that there is one.
Because that's where it either comes from up top or it comes from the fans saying, that's it, I don't want any more. So what are the fans' expectations? Is it what they're getting now?
That's literally the question of the segment.
Are they cautiously optimistic about this upcoming season and just waiting? That's what I'm saying. It's waiting.
So that we're clear. I'm not pushing for Shane to be fired. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is I think it is important for Carolina fans to set their expectations now, to set their definition of success now, so that at the end of the year, like we did with that guy that I worked worked with me, at the end of the year we can circle back around and say, okay, he met the objectives defined as successful, so we're all good. Or at the end of the year we can all look back and go, he didn't meet any of the objectives, and now we need to start talking. Because you're right, the push either comes from the top or the bottom, never the middle. I don't disagree. Question mark is, how many years do you wait until you start that push? Because every year that you leave a failed coach in, it's 1 year further away from success that you get. And as much as I've heard, well, you just can't succeed at South Carolina. Yeah, they used to say that about Clemson, too.
When your expectations are the middle, he's meeting that.
But are they? Are we good with that? If your definition of success is 6-6 in a bowl game, then great, congratulations. But I can't imagine Gamecock fans don't have higher desire for their football program.
Being desirous and also being realistic are two different things.
Being realistic and wanting more do not have to be two different things. Texter said, my expectation as a Gamecock fan is that we're going to be left one more yet again. What I want is a big upgrade to the offensive line so that we can see if his offense is any good, not just a player, but the scheme as well. Yeah, again, that was the criticism from last year, right? Rattler and XL carried you for a couple of seasons, and when Juice went down, the offense went down with it. The talent wasn't there on the offensive line to do anything with it last year. Texter said, Beamer is the new Butch Jones, champion of life. That's a great reference, Tyler B. Appreciate that text. Thank you very much. That's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm afraid of, that you're entering Butch Jones territory, and you don't want to do that. Texter said, Rob, I'm a Clemson grad. If the Gamecock fans don't set proper expectations, that is not my problem. I didn't say that it was. This segment's not about you.
Managed to get your team in there, though, didn't you?
So there you go. We got a bunch more in the chat as well. We will continue this discussion later on in the radio broadcast. I do want to circle back around to it. We got some baseball, we got some golf, we got some football and more. Before we get to any of those things, though, sit back, relax, light a candle, and enjoy the next 67 seconds of audio pleasure that is Lonzo Sports Flash.
Now I'm worried. You think I'm just gaseous and they need to cover the Oh, he's going to the bathroom now. He'll smell real gas. The Atlanta Braves took a series win out of the Bronx with a 3-1 win over the Yankees yesterday. Jerry Kelenic had another big day with a two-out home run in the third that gave Atlanta a lead they would not relinquish. Max Fried went six strong innings, giving up six hits, but only one run while striking out four. Scottie Scheffler is back in the win column after a playoff defeat of Tom Kim at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Scheffler turned in a pair of 64s and a pair of 65s, including Sunday, and averaged just one bogey per day over the tournament. Scheffler led the field with a driving distance of over 315 yards. Make sure you tune in this afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m., for Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel, Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.